Well, welcome again to Spring Creek. This morning, our service is being led by our young people. And I wanted to tell you a little bit about what we're doing today. The idea for today, this stories around the campfire, as we're calling it, came from a curriculum that we've been using called Echo the Story. We used this a few years ago. Those young people have gone off out of the youth program, so we're cycling it back again. Echo takes us through the Bible beginning to end. It's going to take us at least a good 2 years. The hope is that our young people will begin to see the Bible as one big interconnected story. And that's the part that I love. It is a story that God is writing. It's interactive, this curriculum. We use all of our senses. It's repetitive in nature, solidifying themes and relationships. Echo uses an imaginative approach, helping youth experience the Bible in a fresh new way. I love seeing the Bible begin to take shape in our young folks, in their hearts and minds. In the youth room, we use this curriculum and we follow a similar sequence. We rewind, prepare, imagine, capture, remix, and then connect. You might think that following the same pattern would be boring, especially to our young folks. Our culture has so many choices in content and entertainment, right? But because of that, we often struggle to follow any kind of rhythm or ritual. And this is definitely true for our young people. So this repetition, this rhythm is important. I think that it brings safety, it creates boundaries that actually help free their imaginations, and it allows us to go deeper into these stories. Along the way, I think that these young folks cultivate new spiritual skills and sensitivities because this process guides them to assign meaning to their experiences with the Bible and to look for God in Scripture and in one another. It's really pretty awesome. We're reading and interacting with God's amazing story, though, so how could it not be awesome? The thing is that this story is our story, too, and that's the part we talk about a lot. We are part of God's amazing story. We thought this morning that we could begin, as we do in the youth room, with that rewind part. So we're going to watch a short video. We watch these videos every Sunday in the youth room. This video recaps the stories that we've studied so far and prepares us for the new story ahead. So this is Echo the Story.
The Bible is a sacred story, echoed to us from the ancients. An epic, revealing the great Creator's pursuit of wholeness for all of creation. May we find ourselves in this amazing story. The Creator, a great and mysterious being called God, hovered over the dark waters of the earth. As God spoke, creation took shape. God pushed back darkness from light, separated sky from water, and surfaced land from the seas. God filled the air, land, and water with every kind of creature. Then, God formed a new creature to reflect God's own image. Humans were entrusted by God to care for all living things. Looking over creation, God thought, "This is very good." Then God rested and set aside a day for humans to rest and enjoy being with God. God tried to protect the humans from knowing too much too soon. But the humans ignored God's instructions. They gave in to temptation, believing they could have God's wisdom right away. Soon, they began to experience struggles, and pain, and death. Before long, civilizations emerged, but humans couldn't live peacefully apart from God's ways. Selfishness turned into hatred, murder, and war. The earth was filled with chaos. God's heart broke. So God sent a terrible flood, washing it all away. But God never gave up hope. In fact, God promised to bless the entire world again. It would all start through a man named Abraham. God made this sacred promise to him. God said, "Look around, as far as you can see, this promised land is for your family. Look up and try to count the stars. That's how many will be in your family. They will be my blessing to the entire world." Abraham and his wife Sarah laughed in disbelief. How could this come true? We've never been able to have children, and now we're too old. But they weren't too old for a miracle. After 25 years of waiting, they had a son and named him Isaac, which means laughter. Just as God promised, the number of Abraham's descendants grew and grew. They became a people known as Israel, named after Isaac's son. Next, we'll hear about Israel's remarkable rescue from slavery in Egypt. Let's continue this story right now.
Please rise so we can do a call to worship. Shh, quiet, please. This story is about to start. We open our hearts, our eyes, and our imagination.
This is God's story.
An ancient telling, the story of God's people.
May we find ourselves in this amazing story.
I would love to invite any young people who are here to come and join us around the campfire if you'd like. I also have treats. Anybody's welcome to come. Good morning. Thank you for being brave souls to come around our campfire here. You want to have a seat, Garrett? Okay. Well, this is our campfire, you know, makeshift for the sanctuary. I think we need a campfire today on this rainy day, don't we? And I did bring you treats. Hold on to them for later. There you go. S'mores on a stick. There you go. Well, Dylan here is going to tell us why do we have this campfire? What's important about what we're talking about and trying to do today that has to do with this campfire? I'll turn it over to you, Dylan.
Well, the campfire is like the Bible. The Israelites and early Christians gathered around the light of the fire to share the stories of their faith. The Bible tells their sacred story, a winding, epic recounting of their experiences with the divine. Just like the ancients, we gather together around this sacred story to find light, connection, and illumination. God's Spirit brings these stories to life in our imaginations and draws us into them, lighting a path to reveal more about who we are and why we are here. These Bible stories will spark meaning within each of us as we share out sparks with each other. They'll ignite new insights all around us. So let's gather around the campfire, hear about God's people, and hear our place in this amazing story. Time to gather.
And we're going to start that this morning the same way we do in the youth room. As part of the video that we watch, we take 2 minutes and we turn to a neighbor and we answer the question that is posed in our video. So I am going to extend a question to all of you. If you would turn to a neighbor and for the next 2 minutes, share one Bible story or two that has influenced your life. Let us be joined together in a time of prayer. Good morning, God. This morning, we worship you and thank you for all that you do for us, for the ways that you provide for us and protect us and love us. We also thank you for the stories that you give us. We think of you as many things, Lord, our Savior, our Shepherd, our Rock, our King. We might not often think of you as author, storyteller, illustrator, as the one who has written and is writing stories of faith and faithful people. These stories are our example and our foundation. They are our inspiration. Lord, we don't want to take this for granted, not you or the Bible or the way that you are still writing our own stories. Help us in this service to find a deeper appreciation for your Holy Spirit working and weaving stories. And whatever those stories contain, be it joy or pain, laughter or struggle, loneliness or loss, new beginnings or new loves, we know that we can trust you. You write the best adventures. You are the greatest author, and we cannot wait to read the next page. Lord, may you use the five amazing young people who will speak now. They have been listening to your stories, struggling and listening and learning about their biblical ancestors. May you give them courage now to share their stories and their understandings. Speak through them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. I'm going to talk about temptation today. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 3 to chapter... chapter 3. I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 3 to verse... it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We must eat from the fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say you must not eat from the fruit in the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together to make coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I have commanded you not to eat from?' The man said, 'The woman you put me here with, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate it.'
So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you all, above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children you desire. You desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the fruit of the tree, which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it and all the days of your life." And the reason I chose to do these verses about temptation is because if you fall into temptation from the devil, there will always be consequences, just like in the verses I just read to you. Adam and Eve had consequences for falling into temptation from the serpent. So, here's like a real world example. If a friend tells you to go and grab a chocolate bar and not pay for it, the consequence is probably going to jail or something like that. So I wrote about this to tell everybody, don't fall into temptation from the devil or there will be consequences. That's all I got.
I'm going to be reading about the story of Noah. As humans populated the earth, civilizations formed and cities were built. Craftsmanship, music, and the arts emerged. But humans couldn't live peacefully with one another. Selfishness and greed turned to fighting. Fighting turned into hatred. Hatred turned to murder. And murder turned to war. Violence and chaos spiraled out of control. People's hearts and minds were filled with evil day and night. Humans had forgotten that they were created in God's image, and God's heart was broken. God said, "I must start over." But there was one man named Noah who still followed God's ways. God said, "Noah, I've decided to cover the land with a flood, destroying everything, but I'll give you a plan to keep your family and each kind of creature safe." And God told Noah to build a large boat called an ark, giving him specific instructions. Make the boat out of cypress wood and seal it with tar inside and out. Build many decks for stalls for animals. A pair of every kind of creature, a male and female, will come to you to be kept alive. Also, bring extra animals for offerings and remember to pack enough food for your family and for all the animals. So Noah did everything exactly as he was told. When the ark was finished, Noah's family and all the animals boarded to escape the coming flood. Suddenly, water burst from the ground and poured from the sky. The rain didn't stop for 40 days. Water rose higher and higher until it covered even the tallest mountains. Life was decimated, but Noah and his family and all the animals with them were safe. Floating the ark on the surface of the water, after many months, God stirred winds that blew across the waters, causing them to recede. The skies cleared and water stopped flowing from the ground. Before long, the bottom of the ark settled against the mountainside. Noah opened a window and sent out a dove to see if it could find land. But it quickly returned. For weeks, Noah continued to send out the dove, until one day it returned with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Dry land was near. Noah removed the covering from the top of the ark and spotted land in the distance. Soon after that, God said to Noah, it's safe for you to leave the boat and release the animals. They'll find the earth again with all kinds of creatures. You and your family are to continue my creative work, caring for all living things, and fill the earth again with people. Noah is so thankful that he built an altar to give God an offering. And God was pleased with Noah's offering and said, even though humans will still rebel, I promise to never flood the earth again. My love for you will never change, and my promises to you will never be broken. At that moment, the sun broke through the storm. Storm clouds and formed a spectrum of colors across the sky, a rainbow. From then on, each time a rainbow appeared, it would be a reminder to God and all creation of God's promise and a reminder of a new beginning. The phrase new beginning is the same as restart. Restart means to start again or a new beginning, as mentioned in the story. God decided to restart since all of humanity forgot that they were created in God's image. There was violence and chaos everywhere, so God just decided to restart. Everyone has to restart sometime. That could include something like a video game or a big project you messed up on. Everyone has been there and it's not fun. It could also be a time when you did or said something wrong and need to do it over again. We all need to restart in our lives sometimes. God gives us those restarts and a chance to do right the second time.
Good morning. I'm going to talk about the story of Joseph. Joseph was very faithful and believed in the promise of the Savior to come. Joseph was loved by his father, Jacob, more than all of Jacob's other sons because he was born to him at his older age. I and my grandfather were very close because we both enjoyed a passion for the woods and hunting. We had a great bond together, and I miss it very much. Just like Joseph was loved by his father, I was loved by my grandfather, and loved even more when I started to hunt with him. We grew an amazing bond together, enjoying something we both loved to do. I became extremely close with him. After Joseph's brothers witnessed their father loving him more than them, they started to become irritated with Joseph because he was getting more love than they were. When Jacob sent Joseph to check on his brothers took Joseph's coat, which was called the coat of many colors. It was given to him by his father. They threw Joseph in the well and put red stains on his coat to represent blood. Joseph's brothers came across a group of merchants. The brothers stopped and asked if they wanted to buy Joseph. They pulled Joseph out the pit and sold him to the merchants for 20 silver pieces. The merchants took Joseph and he became a slave for the next 13 years. When the brothers went back, they showed Jacob the coat of many colors that had red stains on it and told Jacob that he was killed by a wild animal. Jacob was terrified and went right into tears because he thought that he lost his son. But all was not lost for Joseph because God had plans for him. While in jail, Joseph began interpreting dreams and eventually was even asked by the Pharaoh to interpret his dreams. Not long after, because Joseph was open to God's leading and worked hard, he became Pharaoh's right-hand man. This position would lead Joseph to face his brothers when they came to Egypt to search for food during the famine. There can be lots of feelings in families like jealousy, resentment, anger, and loneliness. Joseph's story is one of all of these emotions, but it is also a story of forgiveness. I appreciate Joseph because no matter what happened in his family, he still believed in family. My family has faced difficult times and loss of family members that we dearly loved, but those times of loss and grief have brought our family closer. My family is a gift to me, and I am very thankful.
I will be reading the story of Moses and his journey through the Red Sea. Chapter 3 of Exodus reflects on God's calling to Moses to lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt. When God calls Moses, his immediate concern was, "Who am I?" In response to this, God reassured Moses with the promise of God's own presence. After suffering devastating plagues sent by God, the Pharaoh of Egypt decided to let the Hebrew people go, as Moses had asked. God told Moses he would get glory over Pharaoh and prove that the Lord is God. After the Hebrews left Egypt, the king changed his mind and was angry that he had lost his source of slave labor. He summoned his 600 best chariots and all the other chariots in the land, and marched his massive army in pursuit. The Israelites seemed to be trapped. Mountains stood to one side, the Red Sea in front of them. When they saw Pharaoh's soldiers coming, they were terrified. Grumbling against God and Moses, they said they would rather be slaves again than die in the desert. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see that the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. The story of Moses relates to me the most because of the courage and strength that he possesses. We may not have to lead hundreds of people through the Red Sea, but we do face challenges in our everyday lives that we may not know how to overcome. I was chosen to lead just like Moses. Now, it may not be at the same scale as what he did, but I was chosen to be the student council president this year. I didn't ask for this leading position, but neither did Moses. Even though there were plenty of uncertainty, I had to try my best to make it work out in the end. During this time, I was tested by patience and doubt during a time of uncertainty, just like Moses was with his faith. I know that I will face many more challenges in the future, but if Moses has the courage and strength to lead hundreds of people through a parting sea, then I can face my smaller everyday challenges. Thank you.
There are only two books in the Bible named after women, Esther and Ruth. Ruth was one of the few women who are mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. The beautiful story of Ruth is about a widow who becomes an important character in the powerful story of salvation woven through the Bible. So there's a famine in Canaan, which forces Elimelech and Naomi, along with their sons, to travel from Bethlehem to Moab. Their sons marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. Elimelech passes away, and about 10 years later, both of Naomi's sons pass away, leaving all three women widows. Naomi encourages both of her daughter-in-laws to return to their parents. The scripture says, "Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you may show kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband.' Then she kissed them goodbye and they wept aloud 10. What would you do if you were one of the daughters? What would I do? There's comfort in returning to my town, to my family, to familiar and safety. Orpah returned home, but not Ruth. Ruth doesn't return to her parents or her hometown. Instead, she passionately says this to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Wherever you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." So Ruth and Naomi began their time together. They head back to Bethlehem, two women alone without anything. Two brave women who made a promise to be together and to trust their future to whatever God had for them. And what I appreciate is not only their faith and their loyalty to each other, but their courage to work and to dream. We don't hear that they felt sorry for themselves, adopted pity or sorrow, and gave up. They got to work making a life for themselves.
Ruth got busy working in a grain field so they would have enough to eat. It's there where she meets Boaz, who we read turns out to be her redeemer. They eventually get married and later blessed with a son named Obed. Ruth's story is kind of ordinary. She doesn't come from a famous or wealthy family. She's a widow and her life is hard. But she's brave and her faith never wavers. Her story is included in the Bible and her name recognized in the lineage of Jesus. The book of Ruth is short and there aren't sea-parting miracles like the story of Moses or floods like Noah. There is an ordinary and challenging life shaped by faith and guided by a God Ruth believes in. This story has several lessons for me that are anything but ordinary. What this story teaches me is that God uses unlikely people for God's purpose. God finds a way to use the most ordinary people in ways that we could never imagine. We just need hope and love for Jesus. Ruth went above and beyond in the way she honored and respected God and her mother-in-law. Ruth is a lesson that when we can't see beyond our pain to God's plan, we can have hope that God's story isn't over and that God will make good of what is yet to be.
I find it awesome how these young people have been sharing and what they're learning in their Sunday school class about the story of Scripture. And it is amazing how already, you know, they're working their way through the Hebrew Bible and the Old Testament. That already the patterns of fallenness and brokenness are showing up, highlighted in the story of Adam and Eve this morning. How the stories of redemption and salvation are already popping up in the stories of Noah and Moses. Even you know, Noah's kind of a Old Testament story of baptism. It's the whole world gets baptized, but everything has a chance to start anew. And even in the story of Ruth, someone who is outside, who is not one of the Israelite children, is welcomed in as a daughter and is adopted in. And this morning we have the opportunity, the privilege, and just the chance for a celebration as two of these youth have decided that they want their story to be woven into the story of God, are choosing today to claim Jesus as their Lord and Savior and committing themselves to follow Him. And so I'm going to invite Kyle and Lane to come up here this morning. I'm just going to ask you a couple simple questions. Just first of all, so we know who we're baptizing this morning. Can you guys say your name, your grade, and tell us what school you're going to right now?
My name is Lane Peters. I am 14 years old. I'm in eighth grade, and I go to Annville Cleona School District.
I'm Kyle. I'm also 14 in eighth grade, and I go to Sierra Crest.
These are two young guys Creek for some time, and you all have gotten to watch them grow and mature longer than I have, but even in these last couple of years, seeing them grow this way, but also seeing them mature, I've gotten to work with both of these guys at Bible school, and seeing the way that they interact with kids and help out, it's been really awesome to see you guys growing as young men. And this is a really exciting day for you, a day that you guys have been waiting for, and a day that your families are excited for as well. And so this morning, you are being received into this community of faith and into the Church of the Brethren. As a part of the whole Church of Jesus Christ, we offer you our rich heritage and invite you to share fully in our life and mission. As you are received into the Spring Creek Church of the Brethren, we intend to be a true family of faith to you. We commit ourselves to be for you a loving fellowship, to be a means of grace in your life, and to offer opportunities for worship, study, and service. One of the happiest times in our life as a church is when people choose to become these new members, and we welcome you with joy. And I'll say it's really awesome to see how the theme this morning of the story of God and seeing how your stories are connecting with that is really a chance for us to celebrate this morning. And so let me ask you these vows of baptism this morning. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son, and do you receive and trust Him as your Savior and Lord? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And will you turn away from all sin, and will you endeavor by God's grace to live according to the example and teachings of Jesus? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And will you be loyal to the church, upholding it by your prayers and your presence, your substance, and your service? If so, say, I do.
I do.
All right, we're going to go get ready for baptism. Kyle, upon your confession of faith made before God and these witnesses, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy God, thank you for Kyle, and thank you for the decision that he has already made, and this step of commitment that he has made this morning. I thank you for his life, and I thank you for the gifts and the abilities you have already started to cultivate in him. I pray your blessing on his life, that he may follow you all the days of his life, that he may seek to do your will and to proclaim your kingdom in this place. I pray that you would go with him and help him to know your presence and this newness of life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand up. I can take it. Lay upon your confession of faith made before God and this family faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Holy God, thank you for Lane. Thank you for his life and this commitment that he has made to follow you and to recognize how your story means so much for his own story as far as forgiveness and redemption and salvation. We thank you for his gifts and his abilities and for the way that you have wired him. And I pray that he would learn through the Holy Spirit to use those gifts to glorify you and to seek the good of those around him. I pray that in his words and in his actions, people might see a glimpse of you in your kingdom, and that through his proclamation and demonstration, people might see your kingdom. And so I pray that you would surround him and walk with him this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. I think you all are going to have an opportunity to sing a hymn here. We're going to get changed quick, and then we'll be right back out for you all to welcome these two guys into our fellowship and family of faith.
It may take a bit longer for them to get ready. Maybe in the meantime, we're going to circle back. Shout out your favorite Bible stories while we wait. What did you share with your partner? The story of Samuel. Oh, the prodigal son, absolutely. Ah, another Ruth lover over here.
Story of Joseph.
Joseph?
Yeah.
The women who rescued Moses in the bulrushes. Any others?
The lion's den.
The lion's den. I heard one of my young friends up here say the story of Jesus' birth. Any others to share?
Peter walks on water.
Peter walks on water. We're sharing our favorite Bible stories while we wait. They're almost ready.
I told the Seekers class this morning that most of us got wet coming into worship this morning. A few of us got wet in worship this morning. So that makes for a good morning. That makes for a good morning. And so it is wonderful to celebrate together. And here in a moment, those guys are just about done. You guys can just hang out right down here. We want to welcome them as members of the family of faith. And so up on the screen, we're going to have a congregational welcome. There we go. And let us read together this welcome. With joy, we receive you as part of this congregation. With you, we renew and reaffirm our vows of faith. We promise to surround you with a love and encouragement that will enable you to grow strong in compassion, vigorous in service, and sure in the way of Christ.
Thank you for gathering with us around the fire this morning. We pray you will keep this story and this journey going. Open up your Bibles this week. Read a story, and then open up a blank journal page and write parts of your own story, and be sure to share the sparks that emerge with others. Go in peace now, Spring Creek, to love and serve the Lord. Amen.